The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. Streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Become a fan of the show on Facebook at 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff. And then you can also follow us on Twitter, WILS Weekend Kick. Dave Benton here with my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. Half an hour left to go in the show and about 15 minutes away from a new segment we're going to be starting. Kind of a mixture of baseball and fantasy baseball between me and Scott. A little wager that's going to go on, so you'll have to wait for that. But we want to talk a little bit about the NBA and the NHL with the playoffs coming up. We wanted to give you a little bit of talk between the Red Wings and what's going on also in the NBA playoffs. But first, I think it's important that we touch, Scott, on what is going on with the Detroit Pistons and the ownership situation. For those who don't know, Tom Gores has now the California billionaire. He was also a billionaire? He's a billionaire.
I'll give him the billion.
He's a billionaire. And he's a former Michigan State grad. He grew up in Michigan, and he has now agreed to buy the Detroit Pistons from the Davidson family. So, Gores is in now. The Detroit Pistons are in a complete mess, and we were talking to Jamie Samuelson from WCSX and also from DetroitFreep.com earlier today, and he was talking about, Scott, the fact that this team needs a complete overhaul. But my question to you is, as you look at the Pistons and as you look at the trends going on in the NBA with players going to different teams, is it too late for an overhaul at this point?
Yeah, the only guy that's really a big free agent is what, CP3, Chris Paul? I think he's really the only guy out there.
And he's not going to Detroit.
No, and he's not going to come to Detroit. So that's the biggest problem they have, and that's why I asked him. Because, like, let's face it, the Pistons right now, they're seventh to last. So seventh in the lottery. They have the seventh most balls in the hopper.
Yep.
And they can't
That's
do
a
any
technical
worse.
Term, by the way.
What's that?
The hopper, that's a technical term.
Yes, exactly. Anyway. They can't do any worse. They can't tank the season from here. They could have earlier. They tried to, really. They can't do any better. They're seventh. I mean, maybe they'll get lucky in the draft, get number one or two. And I would say Kyrie Irving would be the top pick for
they
the Pistons.
They could use a point guard.
They need a point guard. And he could be electric enough to do that. But the problem is, there's so much else that the team needs. And Jamie said it himself. He said, you know, Greg Monroe's a person you can build around, but he's not a stud or superstar right now by any means.
And as he pointed out as well, and you and I have said this before, the Pistons really got lucky last time around. In an era where you are buying three free agents and then calling it good, the Pistons got away with winning with five talented players. Not fantastic players, good players.
Back when the NBA was ugly, and the NBA and all of TV hated it when the Spurs and Pistons would play each other. That's when the Pistons
But here's the thing. The Pistons tried to do it again, because I think deep down the Pistons don't think they are attractive enough to bring in a big free agent. And especially at this point, I totally agree with that. Back when they were winning championships, if you saw the fan support, I would say we were attractive enough. But now I would say the Pistons aren't even close to attractive enough when you look at the salary cap and you look at of who they have to build around. And they tried, by getting Villanueva and Gordon, to redo what they did in 2004. But it didn't work. And so now they've got all this money invested in a player who's averaging 10 points and 6 rebounds a game and a guard who's getting $60 million to basically come off the bench. And so when you look at it that way, just where they are at right now, they are going to miss the boat on what's happening, even with a new owner. And I think it's a great move as far as an owner is concerned. You need a guy who knows Michigan. You need a guy who understands this city, who understands this area and what goes into a sports franchise in this area. Because Detroit is a great fan base. Michigan in general, I consider all of Michigan Detroit fan base. Except for maybe Northwest, when maybe they're Packers fans.
In Southwest Chicago, yeah.
But overall, it's all Detroit fans. And it's a fantastic, it's a top five sports city, in my opinion, in the country as far as fan support goes. The problem is, in the NBA, and we showed this stat to you about a month ago, in the NBA, if you do not win, people don't come to your games. And we showed that with countless numbers of teams that finished below 500 and had a bottom five attendance record, Detroit Pistons included the last time they finished below 500.
Well, I think it's a little different than that even. Though the like 04 Pistons team, that team really embodied Detroit because it was Ben Wallace was the front man, the guy you pictured for Detroit. He is not a flashy super. He's the guy who's going to come to work every day, just knock somebody out if he has to, get in a fight.
If Pittsburgh had a basketball team, they'd love the Detroit Pistons.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And with the style that Jamie was talking about and we're talking about, you have to switch to, it's where you get two superstars who are going to... The game would be so much different. I can't describe it. It would be finesse more than it would be that hard work, slow it down. You'd have to get kind of the fancy game, really.
I think a big part of this is the coaching situation. You know, the Pistons kind of fell into a trap with Flip Saunders where they tried to go offense rather than defense. And if you're going to play the style that Detroit Pistons fans want, you have to be defense first, offense second.
Yeah, they have players in right now. If they had a coach that got along with the players, they could implement a system much better than what they're doing right now, for sure.
Yeah, Kuster's not really getting the job done at this point. He's got to be replaced. And maybe Kuster's a great guy. Maybe he's a brilliant basketball mind. But the bottom line is the players don't respect him. And if you don't respect your head coach, you're not going anywhere. So, it's a mess. I think Gores, if anybody is going to do a good job, it'll be Gores. He's going to spend the money. There's no doubt about that. But we'll have to see what happens. Let's talk a little bit NBA and NHL. They're a couple games away from being in the playoffs. The NHL is about one game away from being in the playoffs. Two spots really open, the 8 seeds, and that's about it. And then in the NBA, we've got a couple slots open, but for the most part, things are filled up. Out of the NBA, you look at the San Antonio Spurs. They're 35-5 at home this year. They are the number one seed. Tim Duncan is now healthy. They're getting older, but they're still good. They've got a solid nucleus, and they've got Popovich. Are they the favorite, or is somebody else the favorite? I know they're the
Lakers
one seed. I know they're the one seed, but that's what I'm asking.
No, Lakers are still the favorite. You put Kobe out
but
there.
But they've lost four straight.
Yeah, exactly. They've lost four straight. Oh, no. I think they're fine. I mean, they're the past champion. They haven't really lost anything. If everybody's healthy and if Bynum is able to stay healthy through the playoffs, that is something added that they don't usually have. And Kobe's the best player in the game, hands down.
I would agree with that. I'd still take Kobe over anybody, including LeBron, including Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, any of those guys. It's got to be Kobe. You know, the Lakers have something that nobody else does. The Lakers, first of all, they've got a deeper bench than most teams. And second, they can play finesse or they can play physical. I look at the Spurs, the Spurs play physical. Dallas plays finesse. Oklahoma City plays finesse. The Lakers can play both ways with all of those teams. Now, I look at 5-8 in the West. I don't really see anybody that can really make a run. Unless maybe Chris Paul gets hot for New Orleans and they can win a series, but they'd be playing the Lakers. So I really don't see that happening. Denver is a good story. The fact that they've played better after they got rid of Carmelo Anthony, that they're playing with the Knicks scrubs, and they're playing as a team, and they're playing well, but they're not going to beat Oklahoma City. They don't have anybody that can stop Westbrook or Durant. So the West is going to go 1-2-3-4, and frankly, the East is probably going to go 1-2-3-4 unless the Knicks find their form finally with Carmelo and Stoudemire. But I look at the West, I don't think that Dallas or Oklahoma City can maintain their composure for an entire playoff run.
Well, Dallas has a hard time doing that anyways. Oklahoma City, I mean, they challenged the Lakers more than anybody last year.
Except in the playoffs. They got smoked in the playoffs. They got worked. So Durant got worked in the playoffs against the LA Lakers. Yes, he did. What do you mean, no? What are you shaking your head?
They were the only ones that really challenged them throughout the whole playoffs.
Well, in the series, yes, but I'm saying Kevin Durant was never really a factor in that series. And if Kevin Durant isn't a factor in a series, I'm sorry, they may steal a couple of games, but you're not winning a series without Kevin Durant playing well.
Well, that gives them confidence. If Durant got shut down and they stayed in that series, imagine what happens if he can break out.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is I think that the Lakers will get in his head again, and I don't think that... Now, here's what I will say. Westbrook is kind of a matchup nightmare for the Lakers.
Yeah, they have no guard who can do anything.
But the difference is, and this is another point, San Antonio is going to play Oklahoma City. Lakers aren't going to play Oklahoma City. Lakers will take on Dallas in the second round. San Antonio will take on Oklahoma City. And San Antonio has a well-rounded team. Now, could the youth of Oklahoma City take out the old guys at San Antonio? Definitely. I could see it happening. And then I will agree with you. The Lakers got roughed up a bit overall by Oklahoma City, but if Durant is not playing well, I can't see Oklahoma City being able to win four games in a seven-game series. I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm interested in the East, though.
I mean, was just going to switch over to the East. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, you've got Derrick Rose, probably the MVP, leading the Bulls to the one seed. First time in a long time they've done that, because everybody talks about, it seems like, obviously, the Heat. Then you go Celtics. Then you throw in Orlando after that. And it seems like the Bulls are the afterthought, and they're the one seed over there.
Well, I think the reason they're the afterthought is I think people kind of think like LeBron James. And they looked at LeBron James last year with the Cavs, who won 60-some-odd games, and then really had no shot of winning the NBA championship. They really just weren't a good enough team all around. And I think sometimes people look at the Bulls and they say to themselves, you know what? They've got a great player in Derrick Rose, and they've got good role players. But in a seven-game series, can they really handle Boston? Can they really handle what the Heat have to offer? And I think that's what people question. Now, here's my answer to that. I think, yes, they can. I think their role players are good enough, and they've shown it over an 82-game schedule, that they can beat teams. Now, go ahead.
For how much I hate Noah, he actually does a fantastic job.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Now, what is interesting is what's going on with the Boston Celtics right now. Because the Boston Celtics, since trading Kendrick Perkins, has not looked nearly as good. Now, I love Jeff Green. I think Green was a good pickup by them. I really do, and I think it helps them compete against the Miami Heat. But they haven't looked nearly as effective without Perkins in that lineup. And I do wonder, with aging guys like Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen, how far they can go in it. Now, if they take on the Heat, absolutely. I think Rondo's a matchup nightmare for the Heat. I don't think anybody can handle him. And, you know, they're going to take on Philadelphia in the first round, so they'll breeze through that. What's going to be interesting is that Knicks-Heat matchup.
Can you imagine if the Knicks just come out and stomp the LeBrons?
Yes, I can, because I think the Knicks have the talent to do it.
Oh, I'm not saying that they won't do it. I'm just saying the reaction. I mean, losing first round in the playoffs, which very easily could happen. Nobody wants to face the Knicks right now because of their 1-2 punch.
Miami is not a very good team. They've got three great players. They're not a good team. And so when you don't have a good team and you're asking them to win 4 out of 7, you know, they're not always going to do that. If you've got to play an additional good team throughout the entire time. So, should be interesting what happens with that. Let's move over to the NHL real quick before we go to break. In the East, Carolina and the Rangers fighting for the final spot as the 8th seed. Winner of that is going to play Washington, so I'm not sure how much of an issue there is there. And then over in the West, Dallas and Chicago will go into the last day. With Chicago, the heads-on favorite, because although they take on Detroit in their final game.
Yeah, the last two, I mean, they won last night and play them again. Detroit had the chance to, for the most part, knock them out of the playoffs.
Here's the issue with Detroit. I don't think Detroit really cares if they're the 2 or the 3 seed in this situation. I don't think there's a big difference between the Kings and the Ducks. So I can see them being kind of lackadaisical. Plus, they're going to be resting Zetterberg. They may rest Datsyuk for all we know, or Lidstrom or something like that, because their future's pretty much set at this point. So I would definitely give the advantage to the Blackhawks. And if they win, it doesn't really matter what Dallas does in their final game.
Right, and that's the real interesting thing is 4 through 9 there, 4 points separate. I mean, it's
correct.
4 through 8, they could switch, everybody could flip all the way around.
Yes.
I have no clue what the tiebreakers are.
So, you know, I look at it, and obviously San Jose and Vancouver are the two teams that Detroit has to watch out for, and they'll have to play one of them. They're going to have to play at least one of them, maybe two of them as the playoff season goes along. I mean, the playoffs last like 3 months, it seems like. But I really wouldn't be worried if I were Detroit in the first round. It's that second round where they might have to take on a San Jose that things could get nerve-wracking for. So we'll see. Coming up next, we got our final segment talking a little bit of fantasy baseball, a little bit of regular baseball, all mixed into one. It's Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS.